Hey everybody, it is night three of SummerSlam week. We are 24 hours away from the return of CM Punk or AEW going out of business. Either or, it's going to be. But I'll tell you what, they probably won't go out of business. You know why? Because this fucking company, Impact Wrestling, keeps going. Andrew, can I just say something before we start?
Oh, absolutely. Go ahead.
So brother. I was planning on not reading any of the spoilers and fucking covering Emergence because Andrew had informed me that it was going to be Saturday before SummerSlam. So I thought to myself, well, that's a fun Saturday to watch Emergence and then watch SummerSlam. But these fucking idiots, tomorrow night, biggest night in 10 years in wrestling, and these fucking morons decide to put Emergence head-to-head against SmackDown. Now, even if SmackDown tomorrow night is going to be, you know what, we're not taping an episode, we're going to air the best of Tito Santana, it's still going to blow away fucking Emergence. So why the fuck would you do this? Why would you have Emergence on during SmackDown, which is one of the biggest shows, no matter what, and then the fucking debut of CM Punk? Why? Why? Because they're a dumb fucking company. So I read the results, and it's all fucking garbage. I don't understand this company's still alive. I really don't.
It's because they want a little piece of the pie. That's why. They were like, we want to be on Friday too. That's what I'm thinking.
Everyone's going to watch SmackDown. You know why people are going to watch SmackDown? Because number one, it's not going to interfere with the Rampage. And number two, people are going to want to see if they're going to do something to fuck with AEW.
And also, it's SmackDown. It's WWE.
It's the night before SummerSlam. I do think they might pull the trigger on something that they think is going to fuck with them. I don't know what it could be, but you think Vince, I would be very surprised if tomorrow night's a regular episode of SmackDown, Vince must know something about Tony Khan that we don't, because I think they're going to pull something that we don't expect to fuck with.
No, I think it's going to be a regular episode of SmackDown. Yeah. And I think it's because Junior,
you're going to pull it at SummerSlam?
No, because Junior underestimates AEW. I don't think he thinks it's that important.
And CM Punk.
Yeah, I don't. I think in his head, they're not really that much of a threat. And I guess you based it on the ratings, technically, they're really not. Yeah, I get it. They beat NXT, but their ratings aren't.
Yeah, but that's Triple H's fault in their head. It's not their fault.
Yeah. What I'm saying is, in the grand scheme of things, I don't think Junior sees AEW as like a threat to Raw or SmackDown. At least that's what I'm thinking. So, you know, he probably is like, I just don't address it. Who cares about that? That's probably how
I just can't believe. Like, I really, WrestleMania Night 1 wasn't a good event at all, but I did enjoy my day of watching the TNA pay-per-view and then WrestleMania Night 1. It was a fun way to spend like the weekend. Why would you do this? Why? I don't understand why they would do this. Shoot themselves in the foot. Plus, by the way, Emergence is the only thing Toronto that costs money. Everything else is free. Well, 205 Live costs $5, but that's I don't understand their reasoning.
Yeah, I have no idea either. Yeah, Emergence is the only one that's really, it costs money.
But you have to pay to see.
Yeah.
Why would you go against, oh my God, like, I just want to, why? Why? Literally, you can air it anywhere. You taped it. You can air it at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Why would you fucking, okay, so let's talk about this episode a bit
more. Yeah. All right. So just to let you guys know, last time we did this, I was watching Impact on Twitch. Impact is no longer on Twitch, and it's on YouTube. For those of you guys who are interested in this or curious about this, the way it works, I thought it was going to be like $1 an episode. It's not. It's $1 a month.
That's not bad.
That's really fucking cheap. So you go on YouTube, you go to Impact Wrestling, there's subscribe or join. If you join, the lower tier is $1 a month, but you get every episode of Impact and BTI as it's coming out.
Is it on demand too? Like, can you go watch it if you want to rewatch it?
I think old ones.
So that's actually not bad, because Twitch, you have to just watch a lot. But even though it's free.
Yeah. But so this one, you're kind of watching. The only thing is Impact started at 8:30. That's why I was confused. And the reason why is because it's pre-taped, they just cut all the commercials out and they put it in. So it ends at 10 o'clock, but it starts at
8. But that's kind of better than watching all these old clips over and over again, right?
I'm going to go into that. There's goods and bads to it. There's goods and bads to it. But with that
being said, can you see how many people are watching while you're watching or no?
No, you can't. There's people who are live chatting while it's happening. But with that being said, tonight's episode made me feel like I wasted my dollar, 100%. I fucking hated these shows. They were so bad. BTI, we had Tasha Steelz versus Tasha Steelz with Savannah Evans, her new heavy, versus Jessica Havoc, who is now in Decay. And Savannah distracts the referee, which allows Tasha Steelz to hit the jackknife cover on Jessica Havoc for Tasha Steelz to win. Anything you want to add about this match?
No, without Kira Hogan, Tasha Steelz doesn't do anything for me. So,
no. I like...
What's her name?
Savannah Evans is really, really tall. So I like that.
So on Being the Elite, they've showed most of the match from Rampage, and they got to change that booth, bro. Let's talk about it real quick. I hope Jericho doesn't talk over CM Punk tomorrow when he comes out.
Oh, you mean the four-man booth?
Yeah, dude, I think it's I just be Mark too Henry much. And Chaz.
It's too – no, I don't even think Mark. It's just four is too much. It's just too much. For a one-hour show, it's just too much. I would do just Excalibur and Chaz. I would just go with that.
Could be good. It's fucking brutal. It's fucking brutal.
It's just too many people. I don't even really enjoy three-man booths, you know, right? Mm. So four is just too much for 1 hour. Everybody's trying to – it's just go with a two-man. And you know what I would do? This is the best. Two-man booth, and every once in a while, you have, like, a guest commentator, like, who needs to – I don't know. That's all you – and then you'll have a three right there every once in a while. That's perfect. You don't need four-man. You don't need all this shit.
Yeah, it was like listening, like Jericho's just yelling the entire time, Christian, Kenny Omega. It's like, dude, if he does that when CM Punk walks out, he just starts yelling about CM. It's going to, I hope they know enough to just shut the fuck up when CM Punk comes out.
No, I wouldn't even, I hate, you know, Jericho shouldn't even be on tonight, tomorrow's episode. You know why?
He's going to make it about himself.
He should be selling his loss.
I know, but I don't know.
You know, like, because if he just comes on, it's just kind of like, oh, so when you, this thing you really wanted to win and you lost, it doesn't mean shit then. You know, I would just be like.
I still think it was fucking horrendous to have Christian be the first one to beat Kenny Omega. I really, watching it, like, the match seemed pretty good, but, like, I just think it was one of the dumbest fucking moves they ever made.
I guess with that being said, we're going to go right into Impact Wrestling because this is what the first thing that they do is they recap what happened at Rampage. And they're presenting it like Christian, the conquering hero, conquers
that doesn't work for the company.
AEW wrestler. Meanwhile, Christian is also an AEW wrestler, you fucking idiots. This is the stupidest thing. It's like, he's like, TNA's very own Christian, because no, he doesn't work for you guys. Like, it's so, like, it's so dumb.
Mm-hmm.
Gia Miller and Josh Matthews, they're in the ring. They're welcoming everybody to the show. And as they're doing this, W. Morrissey, formerly Big Cass, and Eddie Edwards are fighting. They fight to the ring. Sami Callihan comes in. So Eddie Edwards and Sami Callihan team up against Morrissey. And it's a big deal because, you know, these guys are like big rivals who fight so many times that nobody really cares about. I don't like that, dog.
It doesn't matter. This dog wants attention, so sorry.
Kick the dog away. The other dog is better. Anyway, this is going to lead straight to our first match. It is Sabin and Sami Callihan against Ace Austin and Moose. All four of these guys are going to be in a fatal four-way at Emergence, but tonight they're doing a tag team match because they want to copy WWE style. And ultimately, Chris Sabin hits the cradle shock on Ace Austin for the win. Afterwards, Sami Callihan attacks Chris Sabin for stealing the victory. And he's like, it's all about me.
Did he go,
That's what it sounds like sometimes. what did you think about this match? This opening segment, this whole match?
It kind of happened.
I don't even know if it was good or bad. I was watching it, but I was also like not watching it.
Sami Callihan trying to be friends with him was kind of funny. We're the draws. I don't know. It was all right.
Impact is like when I'm watching it, like I'm like eyeballs are looking at it, but like my mind is like it's so boring to me that my mind is elsewhere, so I'm not really watching it. Like nothing is registered. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So yeah. I couldn't even tell if this was good or not. They do a recap of what the Good Brothers did at New Japan Pro Wrestling's Resurgence, where they beat John Moxley and Yuji Nagata. Then the Good Brothers start giving a promo, and they're like, Joe Doring, you know, I want you, big man. That's for the match later on. Then Sami Callihan cuts a promo on Chris Sabin and why he attacked him. There's so much Sami Callihan at the beginning of the show. It's ridiculous. Sammy's promos, I can't stand. He gets way too close to the camera.
I don't know. They really think Sami Callihan's the shit. They think they're really doing us a favor by having him on the show.
They really think he is the draw. Like, they think, like, it's legit. Maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it is. I have no idea. But you know when he does promos? He gets, like, this close to the camera. Like, he thinks that's... I don't know if he thinks it's edgy or if it makes...
He thinks it's edgy. He is... Yeah.
He's it's harsh. So annoying. It's so annoying that his face is so close to the camera. Like he's not.
I tell you, this show did not make me miss not watching this show. Like it's like I'm glad I don't watch this show. Though I'm glad when I have a Thursday off. Yeah, I turned down a gig to. I turned down a show to cover this. I will never do that again.
Yeah, you don't ever do that again. Yeah,
it's SummerSlam week. You know what I might do for Survivor Series. So there you go.
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah, don't do it for Impact. Don't ever do this for Impact. Okay. I don't think it's worth it. No. And then while Sammy's cutting his promo, Eddie Edwards comes in and goes, "Don't ever try to help me again. We're not friends." I'm sick and tired of these two feuding. It's like they, you know what that is? Sami Callihan and Eddie Edwards, I think in their heads, they think
they're the Rock in Austin. Not in their heads.
I think. In their heads, they think they're Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, but they're not.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're not.
Nobody wants this. Is like a feud nobody really cares about. Nobody wants to keep seeing them do it. I think that's what they think in their head. It's not. It's really not. Match number two. It is Shira versus Matt Cardona, who comes out with Chelsea Green. Both of them sporting some massive chest gaps. Matt Cardona hits the radio silence finisher on Shira for the win. What did you think?
Waste of time. Waste of a match. I don't know why this is a feud that's happening. How come they don't mention GCW? Like, how come they don't try to incorporate that?
Oh, because I think in Impact's mind, they're above GCW. I think that's why.
Really?
That's what I think.
I just think it's ridiculous for like Matt Cardona to like have like this really hot story, and then he's on Impact like losing to Rahit Raju. I just think it's fucking stupid.
No, he beat Shira.
Oh well, whatever. I just think it's stupid that they don't acknowledge. Yeah. He should be coming out and be like, "I'm hardcore. I'm hardcore."
Impact Wrestling on this show. Tonight's show, they mentioned New Japan Pro Wrestling, they mentioned NWA, they mentioned AEW, but yeah, they do not mention GCW, which I think is a huge misstep. They should.
They're not the draw.
I think, and I legit think it's because Impact Wrestling thinks we're above those backyard wrestlers. That's probably what they think, which is really freaking stupid because Impact, I hate to say this, GCW has more street cred than, you know, absolutely more street cred. I agree with you. He should come out with the GCW belt and just be like, you know, just whatever. Just do that. But no, it's stupid. They show you the flashback of February 12th, 2006, where Christian beat Jeff Jarrett to win his first TNA world title. Because he's going to be coming out later to talk. Then we get locker room talk. Madison Rain.
Oh, this was brutal.
Yeah, this was so brutal. So Madison Rayne. So I've been following Impact Wrestling, even though we don't cover it, but I don't like watch it, but I just like read spoilers and stuff. And if there's like one match interesting, I watch it. Madison's been gone for a very long time, and she just came back like last week. Mm-hmm. So she's now back.
Well, she was supposed to be gone, like never to return.
Yeah, exactly. She was, but she was for months. She was gone.
I know. Well, I don't know why. I don't know why that she must have lost the job. She was up. She was apparently up for a huge real world job. She must have lost it.
Yeah, something must have happened because she's back, and she is still terrible. This.
Oh, she's worse than ever.
Oh my God! So there's locker room talk with Johnny Swinger is there, and he do a split screen with Tennille Dashwood and Caleb with a K, and it's just a bunch of. All just jokes that fall flat. None of the comedy in this is funny, and it's super long. I felt like this was a very long segment. Or am I wrong? This
felt was really very long.
Very
long. It was very long and not good at all. And I could tell that they thought they were killing it.
Yeah. I think in their head, this was an excellent segment. Though the point of this really long segment is Caleb with a K is going to go challenge Scott D'Amore. And I think Scott D'Amore's head, he's like Triple H. So he goes like, yeah, you're going to do this whole segment because ultimately it's going to be about me. That's why it has to be long because it's important. I think that's what this guy fucking thinks. Because that was the whole point of this. It was the whole point of this whole long segment was for Kilt to go, you know, you guys are right. You guys are telling me I should stick up to Scott D'Amore. So I'm going to do it. I'm going to go confront him right now. The only part about this whole thing that I liked was when Johnny Swinger referred to Scott D'Amore as the barking boy from Team Canada, which is basically what he was.
Yeah.
You remember that? He was like, oh, you mean the barking boy from Team Canada? Mm-hmm. I was like, yes. That's
exactly. Dude, I remember like when I started rewatching. So I stopped watching in 2003 and I started, and he came out doing the, he came out. I was like, who the fuck is this guy? This guy is like, he made them look like shit even back then. He just, you know what, dude, my friend quoted me today, the stench of failure. That guy was like the stench of failure even back then. And it's all these years later, and he's still just the stench of failure.
Yeah. He is a former wrestler who like still wants to be in that spotlight, but he like never had it. He never had it.
And he never will.
And he never will, but what he's doing now is using his power to try to, like, put himself in these positions, and it's just not working. All he does is he makes his own talent look like shit because he puts himself over that. So Josh Alexander gives a promo in the back, and Jake something comes out because these guys are going to have a match, an emergence. Dude, I could not give a shit. There's no way for me to take this guy seriously when his name is Jake something. I don't know how any – I don't care what the fuck he does in the Indies. I don't care if it's his indie name. I can't take this guy seriously. His name is Jake something. His it's just a fucking stupid name. It's so dumb. And Josh Alexander, he just doesn't have any charisma. And I don't know. So this segment leads right. Jake walks out and it follows him to Caleb arguing with Scott D'Amore and saying, Caleb going, I want to fight you right now, Scott. Scott's like, I can't wrestle. But you know what? Jake wants to wrestle. Jake and Caleb. You guys are in a match tonight. And obviously, in typical Scott D'Amore fashion, he put way too many words in when he was trying to set this up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way, you know how I just said it? Like, he did it way longer. And it was just so annoying. I'm like, can you just fucking get to the point? We all know what's happening. I was so fucking bad. I hate Scott D'Amore. He's just so bad.
He's bad at everything, dude. He's bad at everything. I fucking can't stand this guy, bro.
Yeah. I want to be like, dude, you don't have to be on camera. You know that, right? Like, I want to tell
him. No, the whole, dude, I'm telling you, this whole deal with AEW is so Scott D'Amore and the other guy can escape and go to AEW and be characters on there. I'm telling you.
How is Scott D'Amore going to go on AEW? Tony Khan's manager. And he's probably just like, no, dude.
I guarantee you, the last week, he was probably like, no. Like, I'm shocked that Tony Khan even let that guy on camera. Like, I am shocked that guy got even in the announce booth. I would have been like, there is no way you're coming near my, you know what? You, I would have been like, you can have, Johnny Swinger do the commentary and be the representative. Not you. Like, there is, you're not getting, you're not even allowed in the building.
Yeah. I would be like, dude, this guy is such a mark for himself. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, this guy. All right. So Christian's in the ring. Everyone's welcoming back. And he goes, I'm going to be back. I think it's time to retire this TNA title. They take it away. So just keeping just the Impact title. Me personally, I like that there was two titles, but whatever. Brian Myers comes out. And then Brian Myers tries to cut a promo. It's fucking terrible. Christian does a promo back to Brian Myers, and it's actually really fucking good.
Mm-hmm.
Starts going like, ah, you see, you fucking, you're finally out of Matt Cardona's shadow. You're trying to, you got yourself a new vest. You got this young boy guy thing going on or anything. He goes, you know what? You have so much, you finally coming out. And then he uses his own catchphrase. He goes, you call yourself the most professional wrestler? Well, I'm the best professional wrestler. I thought that was, this is why you don't call yourself the most professional wrestler, because someone will say this shit to you, yeah, will make you look like a total moron. I loved it.
I get why, watching this, I mean, the spoilers, I get why they did this. It's almost like they can back out of this Impact deal without putting over Impact by having Christian, because now it's just, I read the spoilers, Christian's the only AEW wrestler still showing up on the show. So it's almost like Christian's on two rosters. You know what I mean? Instead of having, because you had to have Kenny Omega, and you had to have Don Callis, and you had to have Frankie Kazarian running around. You had to have all these, you know what I mean? You had to have all these AEW people. But now with Christian, it's like, they're pretending like Christian's one of them, even though he's not. So I get why it's almost there. It's almost Tony Khan getting out of this crossover while still having the crossover.
Possibly. Yeah, mm-hmm. Possibly. I think until the Good Brothers are no longer on AEW, they have to keep doing this.
Well, I you know, here's the deal. So they have not filmed, they didn't film Ace Austin Christian, which is the main event of the September pay-per-view, mm-hmm, which leads me to think they want to keep that open in case Tony Khan and them decide to change. Remember, Impact, you know, remember, the thing about it is that it's live fucking Dynamite. So, you know, like, they might change course of whatever they're doing down the road.
Yeah.
It depends on how September goes down.
Yeah.
Christian was okay. I'm okay with him returning the TNA belt because Moose brought it back as a joke to be like, no, I'm actually a champ. So I'm okay with that.
I know, but it just visually looked great. Those two titles.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what? Like, it's cool. I'm fine with it. It's not the other world. Christian, though.
Wait, go ahead.
Finish. Christian, though, it did look to, like, Christian was like, why am I here? You know, but this Christian, is not why he came back.
What did you think about his promo to Brian Myers? Wasn't it good?
Yeah, it was good. Brian Myers, though, was fucking horrible.
Dude, I thought it made, you know, when these two did promos back to back, it made me go like, Brian Myers, WWE was completely right about you.
Yes.
The whole time. This is like,
when Christian goes, if you got to lose in order to win, it's like, how much longer does this guy have to lose in order to learn how to win? Like, that's all he does. I don't know. I hope they move on from this. I think it's a mistake for any company to push Brian Myers as like a, I think Brian Myers, it's over for him. He's not a main event player. I wouldn't make him a main event player.
I wouldn't make him a main event player.
Anywhere. It's over.
Well, I'm trying to think. So let's say you were in charge of Impact Wrestling, right? And you're like, all right, well, somebody suggested Brian Myers. And you go, no. Then they'll be like, okay, well, then who? Who on this roster?
Matt Cardona more. I would turn him heel if you have to. I'd make Matt Cardona the champ.
Matt Cardona definitely has more upside than Brian Myers, yeah.
Yes. Yes. If you want to make Brian Myers this fucking bitch, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. It's just, I don't, you know?
Yeah, Matt Cardona or, oh my God, this roster is so thin.
Matt Cardona and,
like, who could be an actual, obviously Moose does not fit in this promotion. He does not look like he belongs there.
If I know you don't like to include the women, but Mac, because they do, like, they never took away the rule that women can compete for the belt. So Matt Cardona, Moose, Jordan Grace, and Deonna Peruzzo are the only four people I could see, like, making it, building the show around.
No, I could do that. I don't know. See, okay, actually, I'm going to get more into Jordan Grace, but I'm okay with that, but I'm not a big fan of the intergender fucking thing.
No, I know, but yeah. But like, there, it's, here's the deal. It's so thin, the roster, that like, you have to almost turn to the women to be like, who would you make in charge of this? Who would you make the face of the company?
Yeah, because they only got like, maybe like two or three
guys,
like main event.
Whereas I could see Deonna Peruzzo having a competitive match with like Matt Cardona or fucking Ace Austin, you know?
I'm going to give you a hot take on Deonna Peruzzo. I don't think she's as good as everyone thinks she is.
She's not, but she's good for that company.
I don't even think she's as good as Jordan Grace.
No, Jordan Grace, I don't understand why they don't make her the face of the women's
division. Okay, here's my hot take on this. Okay. Deonna is not as good as Jordan Grace, mm-hmm. but Jordan Grace, her heart's not in it.
Well, I agree with you on that, because Jordan Grace constantly likes to just act like this is just a side hustle for her.
Yeah, yeah. And I think that's why
they don't want to.
The position Deonna is in, where she's like, like their fighting champion, like she's going all over the place, defending the belt and all this crap, right? Mm-hmm. I think they originally wanted Jordan to be like this, but I don't think she wanted to. So that's why Deonna's in this role, because Deonna's like the person who's like, I'm willing to do it, I'm willing to step up. And they're like, yeah. If you, because it's not always about who's the best. It's always about who has a bigger heart, you know, and her heart's more in it. That's why she's doing it. But there's.
Yeah, like Jordan Grace went and did this competition. Because Jordan Grace, like, Jordan Grace had on Instagram post pictures of her backstage. And she looks like a star. She looks like a woman that you could give the world title to, and it wouldn't look stupid with that roster. Maybe, you know, if you gave her the WWE title, you had her beat Roman Reigns, that might look stupid. But with the men they have right now, it wouldn't look bad if she was the champion.
Because majority of them are really small.
Yeah. So I don't understand why you just don't do that. I've been saying that since the Tessa Blatcher, when it came out that she was a racist. Just switch this. Have fucking that night, I would have had Sami Callihan squash Tessa Blatcher, throw her out of the building, and then Jordan Grace steps up, and the main event is Jordan Grace beating Sami Callihan.
I just don't think her heart's in it.
Yeah, and I think they've already been burned by Tessa and what's her name? Kylie Rae. So
Kylie Rae, who came out of retirement to start wrestling
again. Until something annoys her and she's gotta go.
Yeah. Okay.
Probably the day of that stupid fucking women's pay-per-view. She'd be like, I gotta go.
Yeah, you know she's on that. And yeah. Do you think she's gonna no-show that?
Yes. Probably like, she's probably not going to tell no until like the middle of the card. They're like, right, she's up next. Didn't you say? What do you mean? Where are you? I'm in another country.
All right. So Melina's walking the back, and Trey Miguel, like, hey, can you still do the splits? Because I'm this is all I do now. Fucking
so shit. Glad I didn't go to NXT.
Remember when they tried to push this guy as a main event? Oh, yeah. Trey Miguel, they try to push this guy as a main eventer. Oh my god. They showed you an advertisement for the NWA Empowered pay-per-view, first all-women pay-per-view.
Oh, did you hear the announcement? By the way, have you heard the announcement for the pay-per-view? The Sunday one? Did you hear the big announcement today?
No.
Ric Flair will be there.
Oh, yes, yes, sir. Ric Flair. So okay. So basically NWA, they're doing Empowered, which is on Saturday, and then Sunday it's 73, so celebrating, I think, 73 years of the NWA, and mm-hmm. Ric Flair will be there. They go, we've got a stacked card, guys, and they didn't mention the card at all. They don't have a graphic of the card at all. But I think one of the matches is Melina versus Deonna Peruzzo for, I think it's for the Impact Women's World title, which is why Melina is on the show, and her match is next. It is Melina versus Brandi Lauren, match number 3. Brandi Lauren is not that good at all. Melina hits like a reverse Muda lock.
On social media, awful. She was celebrating that she was on this show. Like she just got signed to WWE. Like, she was, like, celebrating on her fucking Twitter. I'm like, dude, you lost a squash match to a 97-year-old Melina. Calm the fuck down.
Who, Brandi Lauren?
Yeah, she was celebrating on all the social media. I'm back!
I think we're, like, I don't think this girl gets a lot of work, so that's probably something big for her.
She's cute, though.
She was not good in this match. She was, her moves looked really, like, choreographed. I didn't like it.
Also, like, Melina's not that good anymore, so.
She's not, you know what, she wasn't bad, though. She wasn't bad.
Melina, dude, Melina looks so old. Like, Melina aged so fast. It's like, if you look, compare, like, John Morrison looks the same. And John Morrison must be like, oh, thank God I got Talia Valkyrie, because, oof.
I mean, Melina looked the same to me, but I think she also had a kid, so that kind of, like, screws things up.
This is why Vince doesn't want to get pregnant. Damn it, not on my watch.
Oh, okay. So after Melina hits the California Dream to win, Deonna Purrazzo comes out and starts beating her up. The Drama King, Matt, what's his fucking name? Ray?
Rabel? I don't know why he uses his real last name. It's fucking horrible. I'm not even saying it.
It's a Drama King. I'll just call him the Drama King. They come out. Trey Miguel comes in to make the save, and then they announce later in the show that on Emergence, it's going to be Deonna Purrazzo and the Drama King versus Trey and Melina. On Emergence, the winner is the people who don't watch Emergence. That's the winner. Then we get John Skyler doing a promo. They do a recap of John Skyler. Those of you guys who don't know John Skyler, John Skyler is, he's one of the jobbers on AEW, who is now, I think he's been signed by Impact because he beat Mark Matt Cardona last week.
Yeah, he must be with them.
Yeah, yeah. He beat Matt Cardona last week. Matt Cardona is really tall, and John Skyler is not that big, so it looked weird. So they do a recap of that, and then John Skyler he's getting interviewed, so he cuts a promo, and it is not good. You know, this is how you know somebody's not doing a good job of promo. When the interviewer asks them the question, the first thing they do is they just repeat the question back. Yeah. They go like, so John, why did you do that thing? And he goes, why did I do that thing? Why did I do that thing? It's like, then whenever the wrestler is repeating that person's question, basically they're fucking bad at promos. Mm-hmm. Because if I was a wrestler and I was like, hey, get ready to do promo, the first thing I would be like, all right, hey, I need to know what kind of question you're going to ask me first so I can think about it ahead of time. So I have the answer right in front of him. If you're doing this thing where you're repeating a question, it's like you're trying to think of the fucking answer in your head. Stop doing that. You're not that fucking professional. You're not the fucking Rock. You're not Stone Cold Steve Austin. You can't come up with a fucking promo on the fly. Don't do that. He fucking sucked. Luckily, it was cut short because it showed Juice Robinson was attacked in the back. It's a murder mystery, guys. Moving along.
Who got beat up? Who was beat up?
Juice Robinson from New Japan.
Oh, dude, it did not look like Juice. Dude, he looked like a fucking jobber. Boy, Juice Robinson has fallen off.
Juice Robinson and David Finley, I think they both want to leave.
They look horrible. Anyway, I, you know what? Jay White has been... Jay White has been completely... everything I thought about Jay White in January. Remember I went on and on about how fucking... him being on Impact has proven I was completely wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember who thought he was being a little overrated? That was me, guys.
Dude, Impact has completely proved that he means nothing and he's garbage.
I was right, guys. Told you. I'm not saying he's bad, but he was just a little overrated at the time. He's solid mid-card. Jay White is. Oh, by the way, what do you think about John Skyler? This is probably your first time seeing him. How do you feel about
him?
He looks horrible. That's fair. Then they show you a recap of Jordynne Grace lifting. So she's in this powerlifting competition, which she won. Looks like it's in a high school gym, but she won it. And she's going to go to, I think, the Nationals finals now. She qualifies for that. Talking about how her husband was there to support her, how Rachel Ellering's there to support her. This is why I don't think her heart's in wrestling, because...
She's trying everything. She also works for, like, a court system. She has a good job at a court system, too.
Yeah, she does a whole bunch of other things, and No, it's better for her. It's good. It's better for her. Your heart's not in professional wrestling. It's just one of the things you do. That's fine. That's fine with me. I don't care. But that's why she's not in the position.
I get that. But at this point, it's not like they're WWE. They're going to go back on tour. They film like once every 2 months. Just fucking put the belt on her. Then the rest of the time, she can go off and do whatever the fuck she wants.
I wonder if she doesn't want the belt.
Then she's a fucking idiot.
Yeah. No, because it could be that, right? Sometimes people say, no, I don't want it.
I know. I don't know. Yeah, maybe like she's like, I don't want to like have to wrestle the draw semi-talent.
Yeah. Maybe she's like, I don't want to have to go to like NWA. I don't want to have to go.
He's
to
like, do I have to feud with Sami Callihan? And they're like, yeah. She's like, never.
Yeah. Because Deonna Purrazzo, she's going to Mexico. She's going to like.
I still think, by the way, we're going to get fucking Britt Baker versus Deonna at some point. I probably a Bound for Glory.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're getting that. Britt Baker is going to wrestle circles
around. I think Britt Baker wants it, though.
Yeah. No, there's this weird thing where everybody wants Deonna Purrazzo. But that's why I want her,
but it's for different reasons.
Yeah. Hey, you know what I mean? Saying everybody wants her. NWA wanted her. AAA wants her at their events. I think, like you said, AEW wants her. Everybody wants like her to participate in something, but I don't get why. I don't think she's that good.
I think she has a good look. But that's about it. And she's confident. Think about it. She is confident.
Okay. Yes. 100% she's confident.
Like, I'm watching the highlights of the Mexican match. Just by the way she carries herself, you would think she actually knows what she's doing when she does it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. They showed you a recap of her winning the Queen of Queens, the Reyes, I believe. Mm-hmm. Whatever, in Triple Mania.
Her new gear looks great, too.
Yeah, because she had the American kind of colors, the American colors.
Yeah.
It's good. You know, I don't like the way she cuts promos, right? Mm-hmm. I don't think they're that good. Her wrestling is okay. It's good, but it's not on the level of, like, in my opinion, mm-hmm. like Thunder Rosa or a fucking Britt Baker or Sasha Banks or Bayley or Charlotte. So she's not even like in that level of being that good. Right. So her promo is not that good. Her wrestling is not that good. And her look, I don't think her look's that good either. She just,
I like her look.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not the greatest. It's just, she carries herself well. So,
yeah. You know why she looks good? Is because when you're in Impact and you're like that and the competition is so low in Impact, you look so much better than
you. I'm wondering how she'd look if she walked out in AEW. Like, let's say she walked out on Rampage tomorrow night, how she'd look. What if she's the big surprise? Yeah.
Imagine it is. Yeah, imagine it is.
Dude, it would be so fucking funny if it wasn't CM. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. Let's keep going. Yeah.
Okay, we're going to go to match number 4. Jake something versus Caleb with a K. Jake, this is a squash match, but he needs to proceed to spear Caleb through a table for the win. Afterwards, Josh Alexander comes out, holds a fucking exhibition title. They look at each other. Stupid. Waste of time.
I hate both these guys. Caleb with a K, Jake something. It's over. They're trying to make Jake something into something. He's actually nothing. Just get rid of him.
Yeah, yeah. Jake nothing. And you know his name would actually be better if it was Jake nothing?
Hmm.
If you think about it, Jake nothing.
Jake nobody would be actually better.
Yeah, this is such a stupid name. Sue Young stares into a camera, and then
this was horrible.
The new undead Kimberly. He goes, mother, I've captured another soul.
This is horrible. This was horrible. They got to get rid of this. Fucking horrible. This was I like Susan. This was fucking horrible, man.
Mother, I've captured another soul.
I fucking hate fucking company.
Dude, do you know that there is like a possessed female character on every wrestling show? Do you know that? And yeah, every wrestling
show. And they talk like little babies.
Yeah.
Be a bunch of guys in power that have like a little girl fetish, and they're like putting it on every show.
No, actually, they don't all act like little girls, but they're all like possessed.
Eventually, AEW will have one of them that actually.
They already do, dude. So Raw has Alexa Bliss, right? Mm-hmm. NXT has that weird Chinese lady, that Tian Sha, that ancient dragon Chinese lady, right? She's like, we're possessed, right? Mm-hmm. NXT UK has Isla Dawn, who's supposed to be like a witch or some shit, right? It's fucking stupid, right? Then AEW
has Abaddon. Has
fucking Abaddon, right? And do you remember in Impact? There was like three. They had like three like women like that.
Oh, remember, what's her name? The Bunny was possessed for a minute. Remember when the Bunny was possessed?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then Su Young and Rosemary.
Rosemary.
Jessica Havoc sometimes. She feels like it is possessed. Yes. Nevaeh flirted with it. And now, what's her name?
Kimberly.
Chubby Wubby. Now. What's her name?
Kimberly.
Oh, Chubby Wubby.
Dude, everybody has to have this possessed woman character. And I want to tell them, like, guys, this shit doesn't work. Like, just.
Well, you know, fucking... like. People like Rose, like I feel like everyone is just copying Rosemary from like 6 years ago, and it's like it's got to go.
Do you like Julia Hart? Is like a brand new wrestler, and like she is very green, but she's like the only one doing a cheerleader thing right now. So she gets fucking like picked up right away and put into these fucking roles right away. You know why? Because. It's you're thinking outside the fucking box, even though it's like an old thing. You're just like, hey, nobody's doing it now, so let me fucking do it.
There's too many possessed and start talking like, hey, Lou,
there's too many
evil cheerleader.
I just need less fucking possessed women, please. I just need less.
You just need less women, Jay.
Yeah, I just can't stand these. Mother, I captured.
This was horrible.
I love that quote now. Mother, I've captured in her soul.
That's horrible that they think this is like, oh, this is so good. Yeah. Oh, people are going to love it. This is fucking horrendous.
We know what else is horrendous? This fucking last match. Match number 5, Joe Doering versus Doc Gallows. They're like, ooh, it's a monster match. It's a monster match. This is a fucking boring match. This crowd, by the way, is dumb. This is a dumb. The Impact now has a crowd, and they're dumb. They're doing, I don't know if you noticed this, but because Doc Gallows are like, oh, Bullet Club, whatever, they're doing the whole too sweet thing, but they're doing the whole, like, they're doing the too sweet chant, but they're also doing the wood, they're doing the Marty Scurll chant with it. Do you notice that?
I didn't. No. But dude, who is going to go to an Impact Wrestling event during the pandemic? Besides the biggest fucking losers on the planet.
Yeah. And these guys are so dumb. The audience is dumb. The show is dumb. This show is for them because the show is dumb and the audience is watching it.
I fucking hated this match. Can I tell you why?
Yeah.
They do this huge table spot, which is they should just end the show like that. Look what these two want. What are they going to do at Emergence? Instead, they get back up and go back in the ring and wrestle.
So what they do is they fight their way out to the ring. They go to the stage area. Doc Gallows does like sky high lifting, spine buster, on the stage, and it collapses in. They're down for forever. Everyone's like, oh, they're not getting up, they're not moving. They both claw their way back into the ring, and then Doc Gallows jumps into a fucking throat chop, and that's the end of the match. Absolutely right.
Dude,
it should have ended on the stage.
D'Lo Brown goes, that stage is supposed to be able to handle thousands of pounds, and these guys, and it's like, did you just hear what you said? So, like, if it was supposed to handle 1,000 pounds and these guys are so strong they broke it, these two guys should be dead. That they threw each other so hard that that's like saying, like, that's like me shoving you on the top of the Empire State Building and you go through like 15 floors because I was so fucking strong. You should be, and I just, like, do they understand the stupidity that they fucking say before they say it? Like,
D'Lo Brown needs to understand that, like, wrestling has changed, and all those things they probably would have said in the 80s and 70s on commentary, when you say it now, it just sounds so antiquated and sounds so ridiculous, you know, because he does that. He uses a lot of old things from back in the day and tries to use it. It's like, dude, you gotta like dust off the cobwebs, you gotta like modernize yourself from how you do commentary.
This main event was fucking horrible.
Yeah,
it made me think that these two guys are really not that strong, because or the tables. Like, they went through the table, and then they go, it didn't make them look like monsters. It was fucking stupid. I hated this fucking match.
The show ends with Joe Doring, like, screaming, and he's got this wonky eye.
You forgot. So earlier wonky. In the show, they have Eric Young tell the Bullet Club, or where the fuck they are, these two, I told you, the world doesn't belong to you. I'm like, dude, you're still saying that? It's been a year. This guy just repeats, like, I want to ask him, what did Vince McMahon lose the boat on with you? You repeat the same fucking line for a year. Like, Vince watched this show, which he'll never, you couldn't get him, you couldn't pay him to watch this fucking show, right?
Yeah.
I guarantee you'd be like, I did not make a single mistake. I was right about all these people, including Christian. I was right about all these people. I was not even for a second was I wrong.
I didn't feel like he was wrong watching
the show. It's horrible. Why? I would go back. Like, why is that? Why do you think that he says it like it's Austin 316 or some shit? It's why do you keep repeating this thing that's fucking awful? I hate this fucking company, bro. I fucking hate it. I think they think they're doing themselves some great fucking service by no. All you remind me of when you mention AEW every fucking 4 seconds and NWA and New Japan. But these are way better companies.
Yeah. This, I don't know how this company stays in business. It's ridiculous how you could, it tells me, like, in wrestling, you could be, like, really bad at your job and you could still keep your job.
They had to be making more money than they're letting on, because the fact that they outlasted the pandemic and signed people, they have to, or maybe Tony Khan is bankrolling them secretly. I don't know. Like, it just, I don't know what is, this company is so fucking bad. You know what the problem, this is the problem with this fucking company, is that, like, I want to support them. Like, I want to support them, right? Like, I was going to resubscribe to Impact Plus and watch Emergence. Mm-hmm. And then they fucking put it on, you make it so hard for me to support you. You make it so hard for me to give you money that I don't want to give you money. I don't understand why they do this. They do like these dumb fucking decisions that make no fucking sense. They allow, I think, didn't Taz say like this belt doesn't mean that much or something on Rampage? Like, didn't they?
No, on Rampage they said, I didn't say that. They said that the most important title though is the AEW title.
Yeah, it's just like you allow these companies, you work with to treat you like shit. It just, I just don't understand. They make it so hard to be a fan. Dude, when the pandemic started, I still had in my head, oh, this is the number two company. It's because that's the history. I fuck AEW. I don't give a shit who they sign. It's just like, it's so fucking sad what they've done to this company. It's so sad. And the problem is that, like, if we played this clip, if somebody like shared this late, they showed the Dave Meltzer clips on Twitter, all the wrestlers would be mad at us. They'd be mad at us and be like, no, what are you talking about? This company's great. I love Impact Wrestling. Save my career. No, you all look like fucking idiots. You all, and I'm the only person telling you the truth. Nobody's watching this dumb fucking show. Why have none of you been asked to be on AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, AEW Dark, AEW Dark Elevation, AEW fucking in the basement of Tony Khan's fucking pizza shop? Why has no one asked you to have a match? Why, like, you guys are garbage. This whole company's garbage. It's a waste of fucking time, and they make it impossible for. It is so hard.
The best example. Best example is Kira Hogan had to quit to be on AEW Dark.
Yeah, and they're not even not. They're acting, dude. They had this fucking jerk off Jade Cardo, who has 5 matches, acting like Kira Hogan is some fucking loser who has done nothing. And this idiot has been on fucking Impact for 4 years. And they're acting like she's done nothing. Like she's just some fucking scrub. Like they're comparing her to Fuego del Sol, who has not won a match ever. And they're comparing her to him and being like, he's actually better than you.
He won 1 match on AEW.
That's great.
Yeah.
So proud of him. But it's just wild to me. They make it so hard. So hard to support them. They can go fuck themselves. Let's talk about NXT UK.
I would say this was a terrible episode. The only good part about this whole show was Johnny Swinger referring to Scott D'Amore as the barking boy from Team Canada. That was my favorite part. Barking boy. we're going to cover NXT UK. We get our first match. It is the lady from the fourth dimension, Stevie Turner, versus the final boss, Mako Satomura, who comes out with Amelia McKenzie, who is now her young girl, I guess, like the one following her around. Satomura hits an STF for the win. What did you think?
Good match. I have to say, when it's a big event week, like this week is a big week for WWE, NXT UK puts on an almost like a pay-per-view quality hour-long show. I thought this whole show was pretty good. Well, at least the two major matches.
Yeah, I didn't think this match was all right. I couldn't get really into it too much.
I liked it.
I don't think it was bad, but I was just like, you know, I'm not really into this Stevie Turner. She doesn't do it for me.
Yeah, I thought that, but me neither, but I thought the match was fine. I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Oliver Carter, they do a video package of Oliver Carter and Kenny Williams because they are actually going to be facing off in the Heritage Cup tournament. Kenny Williams is a new, you know, do you like his new heel gimmick, Kenny Williams?
No.
Do you remember he was in a tag team with that guy, Amir Jordan?
No.
And then they had a falling out, and Amir Jordan, they were like, we're going to fight and the loser has to leave. Amir Jordan actually left NXT UK. Like, he actually left. He has, like, his fucking shoulder.
I'll tell you this. Aside from Pretty Deadly and Kaylee Ray, I don't know. I they're good matches. I have no clue what anyone stands for in this company.
No, I think that's fair. Then we get another video package of Joe Coffey versus Rampage. Okay. I think actually next week is going to be a bigger episode than this week because there's a lot more matches next week that are like build up to it. And this one is one of them, Joe Coffey versus Rampage. There's a whole storyline where they were like, when Rampage came in, they were like, I want to face the best. And these guys have both won one match apiece. So this is their rubber match. And it's going to be next week, Joe Coffey versus Rampage Brown, only knockout or submission victory. No, nothing else. So, you know, I was like, oh, that'd be interesting. So, good video package. Then we get match number two. Saxon Huxley versus Eddie Dennis. And I just thought this match was really fun to watch. Saxon Huxley hits a fireman's carry slam for the victory, a clean victory. Saxon Huxley has not won since November of 2020. Almost a year since he won a match. He was like losing. Yeah, I know. I really thought he was gonna lose. I was surprised when he won. I was like, holy shit, this guy won. Afterwards, Symbiosis all come and beat the shit out of Saxon Huxley. Nobody helps him out. I don't know where they're gonna go with this. I'm assuming Wild Boar. Do you remember Wild Boar?
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming because he's still worth the company. I'm assuming he's gonna probably help Saxon Huxley against his former stable. But I like this match. What did you think?
Yes, another good match.
Yeah. Saxon, he does the Bruiser Brody gimmick, but I think he's fine. You need like a crazy person on the show. Then we get...
You need someone with some type of personality on the show. So.
Yeah. No, I swear, I like it. It's like, right now, you know, there's not a lot of people doing the Bruiser Brody thing. He's doing it. It's fine. Eddie Dennis has got like a weirdest looking body. Like, he's just weird. Like, he looks like his bones are breaking in his body.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Eva Valkyrie and Jenny, they do a video package between this little feud. So next week, they're having a no disqualification match while Joseph Connors is going to be in a cage held, like, above the ring or something like that, right? It's just weird. They're going to do that thing like they did with Jim Cornette, where they put him in a cage and they, like, hang him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
We'll see. Yeah,
so another big match next week. Then we get, I don't know how you thought this match was good. Match number three, Isla Dawn versus Dani Luna. So, as I mentioned,
Match was okay. I didn't think it was good. I thought it was fine.
Isla Dawn does this possessed character. She's like a witch or something. By the way, I learned something watching the show. And it's all thanks to Nigel McGuinness. Because he goes, that you're thinking magic, M-A-G-I-C. I'm talking magic, M-A-G-I-C-K. And I was like, wait, M-A-G-I-C-K magic is an actual word? So I looked it up, and it's an actual word. It means they use that spelling of magic to differentiate between, like, fake magic and real occult.
Oh, you didn't know that?
I did not know that, dude. So this
you're not a very good nerd, fantasy nerd or anything.
Yeah, no, so you know magic in the X-Men? I just thought they were just
spelled it differently so they could copyright the name. Yeah.
That or because if they wanted, like, you know, like Havoc. You know, Havoc is not spelled with a K. They spell it with a C. Yeah, but in X-Men, they spell it with a K. So I thought they were doing the same thing with fucking magic. The whole time I was thinking. But anyway, yeah, there's two words, they mean two different things. So this is, that's just stupid. So Isla Dawn's like a witch. So she has to get like some of Danny Luna's hair. Her hair's like green. So she like rips off some of her hair and she's like looking at, she's sitting on a top turnbuckle and she's like looking at the hair while in the middle of the match, like a fucking idiot. So Danny Luna just picks her up and hits like a Samoan driver for the win. And Isla Dawn goes away going like, I still got the hair, which is so fucking stupid. It's so stupid because Danny Luna, after you beat her up, just fucking, you can take your hair back. I don't know if she just like forgot that she had her hair. I have no idea. Because you know this is going to be a fucking feud, which this fucking idiot's going to do. Is going to turn her, use the hair to turn her into like a fucking a voodoo doll or some shit. Like,
I think you put more thought. I think you put more thought into the show than anybody on the planet.
I think I do. Well, yeah, I'm watching it.
Dude, to me, these are just matches. To me, it's like, I just feel these are just match. Like, the storylines are so shallow on this show. They're like, you're like, what's going to be her motivation, bro?
I'm saying it's stupid. You didn't think it was stupid where she's sitting up there looking at the hair while the match is going on. She's like, I got the hair. So Danny Luna's like, what's this fucking idiot doing? She just picked her up and fucking hit her down. And it's just so stupid. What I'm saying is, the way this match ended, where she's still fucking walking around with the hair, tells me this fucking thing isn't over. And I'm like, oh god, because she's a witch, she's got hair, she's probably going to kind of some kind of voodoo shit. It's gonna be stupid as fuck. You know, this is stupid. I fucking hate that shit. I don't care how you spell it, it's fucking stupid.
Yes.
Then we get a Prime Targets like video package of Walter versus Ilya Dragunov, where you get Triple H, Regal and cross-eyed fucking HBK being in the video. Fine. Do you think Walter is going to win, or do you think Ilya Dragunov is going to win Sunday? Before you answer that, Walter has been holding the NXT UK belt. By Sunday, it's going to be like 870 days.
I say no. I think they're going to bring Dragunov to the main roster sooner than later.
So Walter's going to retain.
Yeah.
I think so too. I think.
But I think it's going to be the best match of probably the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a very good argument. Yeah. I think they should have Walter hold the belt.
I have a feeling.
1,000 days.
I have a feeling that Vince is going to want to do like some wacky foreigner gimmick with Dragunov.
I'm okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think he's going to win, because if he wins and it moves to the main roster and loses to Jeff Hardy, then they just now that belt means nothing too. So I think he's going to lose. And I think eventually the reason why they have him in America, the reason why this match is happening in America is they want him for something on the main roster.
You know what I would do? Mm-hmm. I would not give him the menacing Russian gimmick, but I would give him the Yakov Smirnoff Russian.
He's going to have some weird gimmick.
Yeah, the Yakov Smirnoff one.
You know what? Like, this is what they're going to do. Dewdrop has to marry him so he can stay in the country, and he's like Balky.
Yeah. They should do something like that. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
They're going to do something. They're going to. And fucking people like JD from Europe, why? This fucking guy was a wrestling machine. Now he's walking around talking about Russia and his stupid accent. What? Like, that's what's going to happen. But they're going to do something.
That's what they did to Piper Niven, you know?
They're going to do something incredibly dumb with him. But I'm But they're going to let him have this match before they do something really stupid. And I think he's going to steal. I think there's a plan for him. Now, I could be wrong. I thought there was going to be a plan for Lince Dorado there, and there hasn't been. But I could be wrong. But I think there's a plan for this guy. Because Vince hasn't been able to do – I think he wants to – you know, he every now and then he gets Vladimir Kozlov. He had Ludwig Borga. He hasn't scratched that itch lately. And this guy – this guy's cutting, showing more character, and I think he's like, "Ah, this guy, this could be the guy."
Yeah, yeah. The last time he did it was Rusev.
Yeah, but I think like now, but I think he wants to do like a wacky farm, like, "Oh, what the country?"
Yeah, yeah. That's what I wanted to do. Be like, "Oh my gosh, catering in America,
food in Russia, we have the food." And then, like, when he loses his temper, becomes like a wrestling machine.
In communist Russia, catering gets you.
Okay, so like, I love it! Quick, like, get him. Have him on SmackDown. That's how we're going to get Punk.
They should just do stuff like that. And then people, like, they should have the wrestlers, like, look around, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? Catering gets you. What does that mean?
Dude, they should just do stuff like this just to upset, like, these fucking. Because you know what it is? These nerds are not going to like what WWE does anyway. So they should now go out of their way, like Meltzer and Brian Alvarez. So they should just do things to go out of their way just to have these guys freak out on the internet. Like,
yeah.
You know, like have Becky Lynch come out and like have Becky Lynch re-debut and get squashed by Nikki A.S.H. just to have like, oh, what the fuck did you just do?
I would totally be happy with Dragunov doing this wacky Russian gimmick. I would be like, I'm into this shit. And Walter, I want him to hold it for over 1,000 days.
I think they understand that number one, Walter's not going to want to go to the main roster.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, fucking Vince is probably going to make him dress like a fucking, I don't know. Vince is going to make him like do the Rikishi dance if he does go to the main roster. Yeah. But also, there's no NXT UK without Walter at this point.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to keep mute. He should be like the Hogan or the San Martino. He should never lose that belt.
Yeah. Yeah. He's been holding it. By Sunday, it's going to be about 870 days. You're only like 130 days shy of reaching 1,000.
He should never, ever, ever lose it. There's no NXT UK without it. Just keep it going.
Yeah, if they take the title off of him, I think it's a stupid
thing. Dude, I think if it comes down to it, NXT and NXT UK should just be Walter every week defeating people. If like they fire everyone, they should just like bring in people from other companies for Walter to beat up. Like he's the one guy they got to keep in NXT, NXT UK for it to even mean anything, even when they strip it down and make it stupid. He's got his hang around.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think he needs to be like the final boss. Like he looks like a final boss.
He's the final boss before you go to the main roster.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So match number four, it is Mustache Mountain versus the tag team champions, Pretty Deadly, who come out with fake mustaches. So during this match, Lewis Howley takes like a really nasty bump, but he was perfectly fine, but it looked nasty. He's going to run the ropes, and Tyler Bate holds down the ropes, and this guy doesn't even hit the ropes. He just fucking flies over the ropes and just lands really hard on the floor, from the ring to the floor. And I was like, holy shit, but he was fine. The ending is really goddamn stupid, though. It is... The ending is so fucking stupid. Tyler Bate is locked in a submission move in the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
And Trent Seven is that in the apron, like, hey, you know, Tyler, get up, get up. And then fucking, I think Lewis Howley grabs a tight towel, one of the Mustache Mountain's towel, and throws it into the ring and hides. It's fucking clean. Tyler Bate, I know, Trent Seven clearly sees this towel, but does act like he doesn't see the towel. Fucking the referee grabs it, goes, oh, you guys threw this towel. And he goes, what? No, I didn't throw it in. The ref's distracted because he's arguing with Trent Seven, which allows Lewis Howley to hit fucking Trent Seven, to hit Tyler Bate with the title belt. And then they fucking get Trent Seven out of there. And then they hit their spilled milk finisher on Tyler Bate for Pretty Deadly to retain. It was a good match up until the ending, I thought. But yeah, Pretty Deadly wins. What did you think?
I enjoyed the tag match. I think Tyler Bate is one of the best. I think Tyler Bate is one of the most underrated guys on the planet. He's so young, and he's just going to keep getting better. I mean, he was great at 19, and that was 4 years ago, bro. It's crazy to think, like, I think sometimes people think, like, he's been around way too long. Dude, he's 20, 21. He's only 23 years old, man. Like, this guy could vanish for 10 years, and this guy could leave for 10 years and come back 10 years from now and wrestle for, like, another 20. Like, how, you know, and that's how young he is.
NXT UK has, like, a really strong roster, you know? That's why they keep getting their fucking members stolen and sent over to NXT, because they've got a lot of
good wrestlers. I would have gave Tyler Bate more of a push as a top guy in NXT. Like, I would have had, when Adam Cole was a champ, I would have had a Tyler Bate, Adam Cole one-on-one match. To me, the match of 2019 was Walter Tyler Bate. I thought that was the best match of that year.
Yeah, but there's a reason why they don't push him. It's because they don't think he has heart.
Well, he's still young. That's what I'm saying. Like, this guy could quit, live a whole other life, and come back at 33, 34, and still, like, have enough time to have, like, a 10, 20-year career, you know?
No, I agree. I think some of the reasons why the WWF punishes their talent, I think it's a very antiquated way of thinking, and it's very childish. And I think whatever reason Tyler Bate gave you to make you think that he was not going to be who you thought it was, and so we're going to demote him, I think they need to let go of that. They need to stop fucking doing stuff like that, because they could make money with him.
Here's the problem. Here's the other problem, though, dude. Besides you hating women. Fuck. Wait, what were you saying about how they punish people?
Yeah, because the way WWE, what they do is sometimes if a wrestler pisses them off or annoys them, it doesn't matter how talented they are, they'll punish the shit out of them and devalue them. And that's what they did to Tyler Bate. And I'm like, that way of thinking needs to stop. It's stupid and it's childish. First off, it's childish.
I think starting tomorrow night, that way of thinking is out the fucking window.
For WWE?
Because I think they're going to realize, like, now we're in for a war. So, let's really quickly, that match is fine. Let's talk tomorrow night. If AEW, this is how big tomorrow night is, I think. Mm-hmm. All right? If AEW hits tomorrow night, if they hit all the right notes, this will be the first time since 1999. I'm not even counting 2000, 2001. That WWE actually has competition. But they have to nail tomorrow night.
I think I can see that. I don't know if Junior will see that, but I can see that.
Yeah. I think if they fuck up tomorrow in any way, shape, even if CM Punk comes out but they do it stupidly, they're fucked. If they have to fucking hit a home run from start to finish of that episode.
No, I don't.
And then the momentum will be so big that I think they can, with Daniel Bryan coming in and Bray Wyatt coming in, and they better have fucking signed Bray Wyatt, and Bray Wyatt coming in and Braun Strowman, but also get Braun Strowman. With all these guys, Buddy Murphy, Ruby Solo, with all these people coming in, and you proving that, like, look what they did with 2.0 the past 2 weeks. Now they're signed 2.0.
Yeah, but I don't, even if they had a couple of fuck-ups, it's not going to matter.
No, I know, but tomorrow night has to be home. It has to.
No, I don't, well, even if one of the matches suck, I don't think it's going to matter.
No, CM but Punk I'm just, out, like, okay, so yes, if this fucking Kira Hogan match stinks, who cares?
Yeah.
But what I'm saying to you is, like, the CM Punk segment has to be perfect.
The CM Punk segment has to be good. It can't be like perfect. It can't be him coming out and then the mic stops working.
This is the most, yes, you know? This is the most important night in non-WWE wrestling in years. And they have to hit a home run.
Go ahead.
If they don't, it'll be fucking, if they don't, or he doesn't come out, or it's a fucking shit show, it will be hilarious to laugh about.
It will be hilarious, but I don't think stop their momentum.
No, it won't stop them, but they won't. No, they won't stop them, but they won't be able to they won't be, they need, it's like WrestleMania 14 had to be good to keep the momentum going, and then it was. You need this to be good so the momentum can keep building and building and building, and then I think they can actually beat Raw in the ratings eventually. You can put Dynamite against Raw and they'll beat Raw. Like, they like this night needs to go good.
So, okay, I know a lot of people bring this up about how, oh, I think during football season they could beat the ratings of Raw. And when this, I was like, I don't know if they can beat Raw's rating continuously. Do you know what I mean by that, continuously?
I think not now, but I think if they nail the next few months, yes. By January, yes.
By January, you think that AEW can continuously beat Raw's ratings?
If they do a lot of things right. Now, they do a lot of things wrong that the wrestling media doesn't highlight because we're supposed to just jerk off over this fucking company. Mm-hmm. And they do a lot of things wrong, which is why I thought the Jericho feud was ended poorly. I thought Christian beating Kenny Omega was handled poorly. I think there's a lot of things they do wrong and that nobody really talks about. So they could still, like, maybe, but if they start, if tomorrow night is as good as we all think it's going to be, and then the Arthur Ashe show is good, and then Bray Wyatt's debut is good, and then, like, the storylines are good, and the matches are good, and they, I think, yeah, they could in January. But
you know, right Bray now, Wyatt won't debut until, like, November.
Halloween.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We talked about this. Yeah, Halloween. Yeah, that's like, all right around November, yeah.
So let's see what happens. But tomorrow night is the first big step. I think CM Punk is the one guy that's not John Cena or Roman Reigns that can turn everything around. He's the one guy. You've got to understand something. To casual fans, he represents like the indie rebellion. He represents the movement against WWE. For 10 years now, he's represented that. Even though he really...
He's almost like the wrestler personified of the AEW movement.
Yes. That's why I thought it was so essential for him to show up in 2019. And I get why he didn't. He said, I've heard about he kind of thought Tony Khan was a money mark. So he did a wait and see thing. And now he knows the guy's a really big money mark, but they have momentum. So he's going in. But CM Punk, he's like, you know, like an Endgame where Captain America goes Avengers Assemble?
Yeah.
He's like the Captain America of indie wrestling, of anti-WWE. So for him to like hold up the eight to people that aren't really into wrestling, that's the signal that like wrestling that's not in WWE is really fucking cool again. What?
You know what would be really funny? Is if he came out, but he's got like a huge gut.
I saw him in a movie or something. He's in shape, the last movie.
Oh, because it would be really funny because everybody would just be like, it's him.
But he is the missing piece to this, because that promo, that 2011 promo, is basically a rallying cry, fuck WWE. And that's why people responded to it so much. And then he kind of stuck around. But him walking out for AEW, him like being like, I'm with them, that is the rallying cry that a lot of people that are just kind of on the fence are going to be like, now it's time to get really invested in wrestling that's not WWE.
I think they need both him and Daniel Bryan, that 1-2 punch. They need that 1-2
Yes,
punch.
They do. But I think it's important that CM Punk comes out and fucking blows the roof off the place tomorrow. We'll see. A lot of things can happen. But yeah, we're on the eve of a huge night. Dude, I canceled my show for this fucking thing. Like,
yeah.
It's let's see what happens. This is gonna, I think this is the most important night since 2001.
I think you might be right. Yeah. This is a very, tomorrow is a, tomorrow's going to be a very important night in wrestling.
Very important night. It would be hilarious if they fuck it up. It would be, dude, I wouldn't be on the floor laughing if they fuck, but I'll also be happy if they don't fuck it up. Because I think CM Punk is the cool factor that the elite aren't. Kenny Omega, Cody Rhodes, the Young Bucks, they don't have that fucking cool swagger. Chris Jericho doesn't have it. Christian doesn't have it. CM Punk, Daniel Bryan, Bray Wyatt, they fucking have it. Like, they have that swagger, that coolness, that counterculture thing. They need CM Punk, and they gotta deliver to him. He's gotta fucking, he's the face of the company. Nobody else is.
Yeah. We're about to find out. We have less than 24 hours.
I know. Or depending when you listen to this.
Less than 24 hours.
All right. So night three in the books. Fuck you, Impact Wrestling. You can suck a dick.
It's terrible.
We will see you tomorrow. By the way, we're going to cover SmackDown 205 Live and Rampage because we know you're going to want to know what's happening on 205 Live.
We should start with Rampage.
How hilarious would it be? Hold on. This would be even more hilarious. How hilarious would it be if CM, like, they actually filmed 205 Live tomorrow night, and that's where CM Punk walks out.
205 Live?
Like, they filmed 205 Live after SmackDown, and CM Punk walks out at 205 Live. Like, he's actually with WWE.
If WWE got him, yeah, that would be... No, I wouldn't even do that. I would put him on Raw, on SmackDown.
But it would be so fucking hilarious if they did that. Because you can only watch 205 Live, and so no one would see it. People would be like, oh my god, turn to WWE Network! Fucking CM Punk!
Or if they announce on SmackDown, we sign CM Punk, he's going to be on 205 Live, coming up next at 10 o'clock.
So, and 205 Live is being filmed after SmackDown. People, yeah. What?
Yeah. No, you
what
said
if
you
have to... What if SmackDown started with CM Punk walking out? Oh, the cat's hungry. All right, the cat came out and yelled at me. He doesn't like CM Punk. All right, buddy. Tomorrow night. I got to pay attention to the cat.
Bye.